In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Based on the ramped-up propaganda urging people to get the experimental COVID gene therapy shots, I suspect more than half of the population haven't taken it. Now the COVID passports are being introduced in different countries. This is swiftly moving in the direction away from freedom and desperately trying to lock us all in to a system of tyranny. We watched in the last 20 months, from Event 201 to the Wuhan wet market to outbreaks of COVID-19 in Western U.S., then subsequent lockdowns here, corporate media getting in front of it with echoes of doom and intubator deaths. Courageous reporting showing us empty hospitals while medical staff were performing choreographed dances, mental illness taking hold of those on a steady diet of corporate-owned media. The debate about masks ensue. Nanowires are found in masks. Inaccurate PCR tests with 90% false positives. Swabs laced with nanotechnology are put into nasal passageways to penetrate the blood-brain barrier. Corporate media using the false PCR case numbers to justify lockdowns. Playing politics with the pandemic. Suppressing political protests with lockdowns. The COVID shots roll out with propaganda and fear programming when simple research reveals that COVID-19 is survivable. It's treatable with natural remedies, vaccine passports, vaccine mandate in France currently being met with protests, Australia hard lockdown because of the variant. Alison McDowell and others connect this into becoming human capital after taking the shot. Your body metrics can be read by 5G in real time and then bought and sold on the market in real time using blockchain programs. But there's also a depopulation part where those who have taken the shot face sterilization as spike proteins accumulate in the testes, ovaries, and the brain. We listen to a collage of some of the voices that talk about these issues, including Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, Dr. Christiane Northrup, Alison McDowell, attorney Tom Rentz, and Naomi Wolf. There is also a short clip from when Tony Bates, host of Question Everything on KPFK, had me on as a guest to talk about the adverse effects from the shots. We talked about a specific caller who had phoned in the week before, fervently promoting the shots. We talk about this caller, and then he calls back while I'm being interviewed. We'll hear that in there, too. Let's have a listen.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, you know, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for, and some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will, but I can't say that, you know, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
What we need to do is we need to take back our world from the virology bad boys by having a supply of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine available. Now, notice that two hydroxychloroquine plants burned down, and they say, oh, no, they weren't hydroxychloroquine plants. No, they made the precursors to hydroxychloroquine, right? So, you know, you're being lied to at every turn. But what we need to do is we need to stand up. Now, I'm proud to say Governor Ricketts in Nebraska, he's one of the five governors who's not restricted hydroxychloroquine in any way, shape, or form. Everybody needs to ping their governor to stop signing this stuff that's being brought to us by the medical universities. They're all being paid by Fauci and the NIH. Let's get over this and let's give your people the ability to defend themselves. This is like saying, okay, We're going to have missiles incoming, but you can't build sandbags. You can't have a basement. You can't have a bomb shelter. No, that's not right. You should be able to have a defense. Doctors should be aware of the defense. We got to quit lying about the defense. And we need to tell people there are five or six things. I have a little COVID kit in my office. It's NAC, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, selenium, and quercetin. Six things. And if you do that, you can improve your immune response and your immune your own ability to fight this off and not get terribly sick. It's possible that they are going to come around with more dangerous things, though, in the future. And then we need more than that. So that's why we have to pump. We have to get the truth out. People have to push around the news that we have treatment. And patients are getting it, which is sad. Patients are afraid to go to hospitals because they know they're not going to get the right treatment.
I think it was very intentional to maximize the amount of fear, suffering, hospitalization, and death to prepare the population to accept mass vaccination. And when mass vaccination came out, they didn't say targeted or just for the seniors or just where the maximum benefit is. They said a needle in every arm, and they meant it. And nowadays, that's all you hear about morning, noon, and night is vaccination. You don't see a word about treatment in the hospital, any updates on treatment. It's vaccination morning, noon, and night. And people are dreaming of mass vaccination. We have doctors screaming at patients, telling them they have to be vaccinated. Doctors saying that only vaccinated patients can be in their waiting room. I mean, everything has been set up on this vaccine. There's been Saturday Night Live skits about the vaccine. Since when do we do that? Vaccines are never that exciting. Americans who have gotten the vaccine, and 45% of Americans have gotten the vaccine, so that's about half of your audience, Mike. They've signed the consent. They know exactly what the vaccine consent says. It says this is not approved. It says we don't know if this is going to work. It says it's investigational, means it's research, means you're signing up for research, and they collect your personal information to track you. And it says we don't know what the side effects are. They can range all the way from a sore arm to death.
And physicians who are providing these vaccines to people are not providing informed consent. And the reason why I know they're not providing informed consent is because on the 5th of June, we opened up the package inserts for people to see on Event 2021, and they are intentionally blank. So if you're a physician and you open those up, you saw they were intentionally blank. You had no information to provide informed consent to your patient. You're morally and legally obligated to provide informed consent. If you've read the emergency use authorizations, and we've gone through these documents before, you'll see that statistically there's no fewer people who get COVID or die if they get vaccinated or if they don't get vaccinated. There's no difference in the outcome. So as a physician, if you're telling people to take these vaccines and you haven't read those documents, then you violated your obligations to the patient. You violated all these oaths, the Nuremberg Code, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the AMA Code of Ethics, the Helsinki rules for treatment of patients. If you've read them and you've told them to take vaccinations, then you violated your Hippocratic or your Geneva oath as a physician, because you're supposed to be taking and putting the patient first, not the government.
And that's what the consent form, 45% of Americans signed up for this. The vaccines that they signed up for are considered genetic gene delivery medicines. Okay, they are genetic, biologically active products. Okay, the typical vaccine is either a protein or a dead virus or an inactivated virus. It's never a gene transfer substance. Whoever signed up for this, you're in 45% of your listeners signed up for this, they took Pfizer, Moderna, or J&J. They took a genetic product, okay? That product transfers genetic material into your cells. That's what it did. And then inside the cells and the cells all over the body, they produce a dangerous protein called the spike protein. And wherever the genetic material goes, and we know it goes to the brain, it goes to the heart, it produces the spike protein, which is inside cells, damages those cells, it damages the surface of the cells, causes inflammation, and then from there it travels in the body for about 2 weeks, causing damage to blood vessels and causing blood clots. So Senator Johnson last night had a town hall for vaccine injury victims, and there were dozens of them, and they told America about how they've sustained brain damage or heart damage from the vaccine. And this has occurred in thousands and thousands of people. 21,000 people have been hospitalized after the vaccine. 27% of them are below age 50. It's astonishing how dangerous the vaccines are. There have been nanoparticle studies. There was one from China published about 8 years or so ago that tested these nanoparticles. And they asked, where did they go? And they made a brilliant, nice rainbow of all the organs where the nanoparticles shower. And they did show that they go to the ovaries. So the point is, and the adrenals. So the point is, the FDA, Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, they knew, or they should have known, that these particles are going to hit these vital organs. And then when they drop their genetic payload, then they're going to start producing the spike protein and damaging cells in those organs. So it was not surprising when young women were ill-advised and took the vaccine, they started having problems with their periods. That was not unexpected. In a New England Journal of Medicine paper of pregnancy of women who took the vaccine, the authors concluded it was safe to give the vaccine in pregnancy. Now, no woman carried the baby 9 months because the vaccines haven't been around 9 months, but they looked at different windows of time and they divided all the pregnancy loss rates by the largest denominator possible. So it was really false reporting. When we zeroed in on the first trimester and just divided by those who got the vaccine in the trimester, not those who got it later on, there was an 83% loss in fetal in the babies. So these vaccines are directly killing babies in the first trimester. And it is absolutely atrocious, horrible.
There are very serious scientific possibilities here for long-term infertility. The studies have not been done. We do know for a fact that the placenta and the testis have a very heavy expression of the receptor for the spike protein, which is being produced in large amounts by the vaccines. We do know that. We also know that during the SARS epidemic, which was a very similar organism, there were reports, a small number, but then it was a small number of people that came down with it, obviously. It was well contained. But we do know that during the SARS epidemic, there were reports of orchitis, which is a medical term for inflammation of the testis. So what I'm saying is, on the male side of fertility, there are serious scientific grounds for worry. Not proven. I'm not being a scaremonger here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Da-da-da-da, right? I take vaccines myself. On the female side, there's equal concern because it comes out of the obscure Pfizer submission to the Japanese regulatory authority that the vaccine particles, the tiny lipid nanoparticles that are part of the vaccine, locate very heavily in the ovary. Now, this was a rat study, but it still showed heavy localization, most unexpectedly, of these vaccine particles in the ovary. All I'm saying is there's scientific evidence in the literature for concern about the consequences of the vaccine targeting the ovaries and the spike protein targeting the testis. If that is in the literature, I'm not making this up.
My name is Dr. Christiane Northrup. I'm a board-certified OBGYN physician trained at Dartmouth Medical School, Tufts New England Medical Center. I'm a former clinical professor of OBGYN at the University of Vermont College of Medicine. I'm the author of 3 New York Times best-selling books, including Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. I've done 8 highly successful public television specials. I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show 10 different times and all the numerous TV shows like Dr. Oz and Rachel Ray and NBC Nightly News and all of the rest of it. There's never been a vaccine like this. It's an RNA vaccine. It is what's called a transinfection. It will fundamentally change people's DNA. And what I don't like about it, even more than the usual thing about the toxic metals that are in vaccines that make our bodies literally into an antenna with 5G, this one has the usual non-human DNA, like, you know, monkeys, maybe fetal cells, pigs, whatever. And so it begins to make us what's called chimers, C-H-I-M-E-R, introducing non-human DNA into our bodies. What is worse, though, is that there is a patent and work that they've done at MIT to make a dye, and the patent, the dye is called luciferase, and under a light, you'd be able to see who was vaccinated, who wasn't, and the deal is to store your biometric information, because this vaccine will have nanoparticles, nanocrystalline particles that are actually little robots, and they like little antennas, and they will have the ability to take your biometric data, not only your vaccine record, but your breathing, your heart rate, your activities, sexual activities, drugs that you're taking, where you travel, all of that, and then take that data and store it in the cloud.
Now we are seeing an economic reason that the billionaires are looking to build a world of fourth industrial revolution that's run pretty much by themselves and their robots, so that they can have a resort of the world with very few people. And so there's not a need for people on the land anymore to be doing labor, to be doing industrial manufacturing, to be being teachers and doctors. They're going to put most of that online, and they don't care if a lot of people die as a result. And you know, that connects into Agenda 21 and the removal of people off of land into sort of mega city regions.
What's even more concerning is that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on March 26, 2020, applied for a patent number 060606, to take that biometric data, give you a barcode, and connect each of us to cryptocurrency so that we would become literally slaves to the system. Like everything, it would be the end of privacy.
The people who would like to bet on our lives and control us and put us in little confinement so that AI can learn how we operate and learn us and limit our lives, restrict it into these tiny little spheres, like we're all, you know, sitting in our little rooms. That is this crazy pathway. I think it's somewhere in Spain. It's like the world's most dangerous path. And they'd like to keep us isolated and keep us on the pathway. Now, they can maybe say we can go fast or slow on their pathway, but it's their pathway and we can't get off. That is the version of the world that they're trying to impose with blockchain identity.
The end of freedom, because who gets the data? Who uses the data? And what do they do with it? So this patent to connect the vaccinated to cryptocurrency, making all humans a commodity, is extremely concerning. And everyone should be concerned, given that this is a virus from which 99.9% of people recover.
And all of our care, all of our social care has to become platformed for these deals that I'm going to be talking about, because it all runs on data. It all runs on data analytics. And that's where, again, the energetic system, the electrical engineering, we have to be turned into data, these binary ones and zeros, to be processed through these systems to have profit extracted from our bodies and our social relationships. So the reason that we're losing our education and our in-person education, our in-person healthcare, our in-person therapy is because of these deals, because they will need to extract the data and the predictive analytics out of these online platforms in order to run the next version.
Why do we need anything like this? Because it goes far beyond those pandemics of old, smallpox and so on. This is very different. The plan here is to vaccinate the entire world. And the narrative that we're being sold is things will not go back to normal until everyone is vaccinated.
And there's language around it, right? The full Babylon service. I mean, it's kind of in your face what's going on here, that they're going to use their data analytics. Like, look, you know, now we're all going to experience everything through our phones for the full Babylon service. And, you know, it's very strange because I don't like normally, like my mode of operation really is primary source material, like looking at people's LinkedIns, looking at World Bank white papers, listening to webinars of what the industry is saying that they're planned. It's not actually hidden if you're willing to synthesize it. And I think the reality is that most people who are pulling down a six-figure salary in one of those spaces are not in a position to question it. And then most people who are most impacted, the poor, are living their lives and they certainly don't have time to spend weeks and weeks and months poring over this material.
Sounds like an X-Men superhero or supervillain. Magneto faction. It's like a biohazard that can move steel with his mind. Magneto faction means depositing DNA sequences into your genetic blueprint by using magnetic fields to push segments of DNA into the nucleus of your cell through the use of these spions, these nanoparticles that are magnetic. Okay, so that's what this technology is talking about. And it's all about improving the efficiency of gene delivery. In particular, the study continues, the duration for gene transfection can be significantly reduced by magnetofection compared to the time required to achieve high gene transfection with standard protocols.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough, and I'm an internist and cardiologist and academic physician, professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine on the Baylor Dallas campus. I think this whole pandemic from the beginning was about the vaccine. So I think all roads lead to the vaccine and what it means. There are already places in Southeast Asia and Europe, they're laying the groundwork for a compulsory vaccination. I mean compulsory. That means somebody pins you down to the ground and puts a needle in you. That's how bad stakeholders want vaccination. Listen, that's not of cost. You don't have to pay for it. It's all provided. There are people or stakeholders, they do want a needle in every arm. This needle in every arm is a very important moniker. Why? Why do you want a needle in an arm? Let's take COVID recovered. Can't get the virus. Can't receive it. It has nothing to do. Why would they ever want a needle in the arm of a COVID recovered patient? Why? Three studies show higher safety events. See, the tension that Americans are feeling right now as they're trying to keep their jobs and go to work is they know they can die of the vaccine. That's the problem. If the vaccine was like water, and you just got it, no side effects, who wouldn't take it? Say, hell, I'll comply. They got my Social Security number anyway in a database. I'm already marked. I'll just get marked. But no, there's something very unique about this vaccine. It's something about injecting something into a body that is so important to stakeholders that it doesn't matter. Kids 12 years old told they can make their own decision on this, and it could be their fatal decision? Think about that. North Carolina just passed that. Oh, kids 12 years old can decide on their own. There are over 4,000 dead Americans. There's over 10,000 dead people in Europe that die on days 1, 2, and 3 after the vaccine. Why are we pushing this in a way where people's jobs and their education and their livelihood decide on a decision that's potentially fatal? The tension, you can cut it with a knife.
Listen, guys, now I'm really worried. This is where I got the shot, the second shot. Look at this. It's glowing. Now I go down my arm and it gets worse. I have a little dot here, but the worst part, look at the vein in my hand. It glows. That is sick. Why is this doing this? Can someone tell me? Look at that. Look at that. It's glowing. And that's exactly where I got the shot. And now my hand and my vein is glowing.
There are parents that say, listen, I want my kid to go to college this year, but I don't want to lose him to the vaccine. They know what's going on. The internet is full of these cases. Blood clots, strokes, immediate death. Now, I'm fortunate. I have not directly lost a patient to the vaccine. I told you, most got vaccinated in December, January, February. Based on the safety data now, I can no longer recommend it. I can't recommend it. It's passed all the thresholds to being a safe product. It's not a safe product. None of them are. It's not just Johnson & Johnson. In fact, more of the safety events in the United States have occurred with Moderna and Pfizer. There are now papers written by prominent scientists calling for a worldwide halt in the program. There are prominent virologists, many of them, including Nobel Prize winners, who have said, listen, if we vaccinate people and we create a very narrow, incomplete library of immunity, which is what the vaccine is, the vaccines are all targeted to the original Wuhan spike protein, which is long gone. That's extinct. Patients are getting vaccinated to something that doesn't even exist anymore. That Wuhan spike protein is gone. We're hoping the immunity covers the other variants. But that narrow immunity is a setup. It's just like giving everybody a narrow spectrum antibiotic. If you did that, what would happen? We'd grow up superbugs. There are warnings out there saying, don't do this. Don't vaccinate the entire world. All we're going to do is set ourselves up for a superbug that's going to really wipe out populations.
Here's a site you were kind of looking for to begin with. This is Novavax. This is the third type. And when they say they're not injecting that genetic code into humans, they're correct. What are they injecting it into? Well, they're taking a different virus called baculovirus, which can't infect people. It infects insects and arthropods. So somebody came up with an idea to take a virus that can't infect people, put the DNA of the virus into it, inject it into the cells of these moths, this moth, in fact, where it gets into the DNA of the moth, and then the moth cells make the spike proteins. Those spike proteins come out, they attach it to nanoparticles. So now they're no longer pretending there's no longer any nanoparticles because there have to be. They take a tree that has a soap that irritates the blazes out of people to cause an immune response, put that together with it, and inject it into people. So does Novavax inject the genetic code into you? No, it injects it into moth cells. So a moth can make partial proteins that get stuck together along with soap from a tree to inject inside of you.
They've been waiting for a way of marking people, that you get in a vaccine, you're marked in a database. And this can be used for trade, for commerce, for behavior modification, all different purposes. And you've seen it right here in Dallas. They've announced, you can't go to a Dallas Mavericks game unless you're vaccinated. You've had people say, listen, you have passports. You had colleges today announce that they're not going to give any credit to natural immunity. Every scientist in the world knows that the natural immunity is way better than the vaccine immunity. If it's about COVID, why don't we have COVID recovered go to the Mavericks games? Why don't we have COVID recovered people freely go to college? Well, why do we have to have faulty vaccine immunity be the priority and have natural immunity not count? See, these types of things make me think that Whitney Webb is correct. This is actually about marking. The vaccine is a way of marking people. It's a way of starting to assert efforts to create compliance, behavior control. Don't forget, the vaccine is just a starter. Now there's going to be updates. There's going to be boosters. They're already prepping people for this. There's going to be more. The vaccine manufacturers are all linked. They're all uniquely indemnified. What medical product is there indemnification where something happens to you, you don't have any recourse? You know, a woman gets vaccinated, a pregnant woman. She has no maternal fetal rights. Something happens to her or her baby, she's out of luck. This is extraordinary what Americans are doing. It's absolutely extraordinary what's being thrust upon us now.
And that, folks, should have us all taken aback at least a little bit. My name is Tony Bates. You're tuned to KPFK 90.7 FM. This is Questioning Everything with Tony Bates. And my guest is Jeff Brady, host of In Other News on our sister station, WBAI. That was quite a provocative clip there, Jeff. Give us your wrap-up of that.
Sure. The voices, again, if listeners want to write down the names, and they can maybe look up the names for further research, is Dr. Lee Merritt, M-E-R-R-I-T. He started it off. And then Dr. Peter McCullough, M-C, capital C-U-L-L-O-U-H, and Dr. Roger Hodkinson, H-O-D-K-I-N-S-O-N, and Dr. Christiane Northrup. And then at the end, Allison McDowell, who is really a specialist in her research getting deep into the larger plan that these companies all over the world are setting up right now in terms of you know, profiting from the data that will be transmitted from everyone's body, essentially, and picked up by, I suppose, the millimeter wave, and then transmitted to the cloud, and then traded on the markets. That is the digital slavery coming to us. And if you noticed, several of them said, they're telling us everyone, well, it's really Chris Kahn Northrup, Dr. Northrup said everyone must get vaccinated. And that's what your caller said last week is, I think he said it twice, everybody needs to be vaccinated. We need to be, what we need to do is be on the side of science.
To answer one of your questions you mentioned earlier about whether or not the vaccine seems to confer any long-term resistance to the virus, that seems to be true. I just heard a study today that was mentioned on NPR that looks like the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine does seem to lead to long-term resistance to the vaccine. But I got to say one thing, Tony. I'm kind of sad to hear any kind of discussion of anti-vaxxer points of view on KPFK. I think that the radio station does a pretty good job with some of your programmers like Ian Masters and Tom Hartman talking about how important it is for everyone to get vaccinated. And what happens is, I'm afraid, is that when you put in a question of whether or not this vaccine is effective or it's going to be helpful or whether or not we're going to get back to another lockdown, that just causes vaccine hesitancy. And when I hear, you know, guys like Gary Null and Robert Kennedy Jr., you know, talking trash on the vaccine, and I've listened to the programs on Roy of Hollywood, and it's some of the most unscientific crap I've ever heard on KPFK, and I really wish Roy would reconsider putting these gentlemen on and the anti-vaxxer people on there. I know it's an important thing that we should be able to discuss this both back and forth, but our best scientists, these are people who've dedicated their lives to this, have decided, not decided, have conferred that this works. And one of them happens to be my son-in-law, who is a researcher at Harvard. And he and I have regular discussions on how this stuff is going to be the thing that gets us out of this dark hole. And so I really wish, I know you're trying to be, you know, fair and give two sides on every issue, but I wish we could stop this so that we could stop the confusion about this, because so many people, they listen to this and they say, well, maybe I won't get it. Well, listen, the fact is that the Delta variation now is in our population. It's spreading. We're going to have another lockdown. You can be sure of that. That's probably 6 weeks away. I just heard that from, I believe, Barbara Ferrer is worried about it from the LA County Department of Health. They're worried about it. We've opened up too quick. Everybody's going to baseball games. Everybody's lying about their vaccinations. Everybody's going to the grocery store and not wearing a mask. This is going to cause another shutdown. You're already seeing it in Europe. So what we need to do is be on the side of science. Everybody needs to get vaccinated.
And he says that you're causing confusion, and the fact is the Delta variant is in the population, it's spreading, and we're going to have another lockdown. Quote, you can be sure of that. So what we need to do is be on the side of science. Everybody needs to be vaccinated. Not just half of the population, everybody needs to be vaccinated. Now, again, it's not a vaccine. These are not vaccines, they're experimental gene therapy.
Welcome to Questioning Everything with Tony Bates, and what is your question or comment, Steve?
Hi, I'm the guy that you guys have been talking about for your whole show, doing a bit of character assassination, Tony. I think you've misrepresented some of my ideas and my positions. First, I'd like to tell your guest that if you know the history of the elimination of smallpox, it took the entire world getting vaccinated, and the same was true of polio. And again, you know, since you're using personal anecdotes, my aunt had polio, so I understand how bad polio can be. We got rid of polio because everybody agreed to roll up their sleeve and get the vaccine. That's how.
Good, sir. No, I'm going to interject here. If you will read the literature, you will discover that polio was already disappearing when they began to vaccinate everyone. Polio was going away on its own, as Dr. Kokai said in our opening.
I totally disagree with that. And, you know, like, I, you know, listen, I, you know, here's what I'd like to suggest. Susie Wiseman's brother, Irv, I believe his name, is an immunologist at UCLA. He's an expert on there. And I would like to challenge you to invite him to come onto your station and discuss this. I'm a teacher. I taught science for 30 years. I've studied how immunizations have worked and how our health programs work, how they're effective. I've taught those programs in school. You know, the idea of hygiene and things like this. I fully agree with your guest that says we need help. We need to work on the alternatives. You look at the numbers of people who died because their comorbidity was their obesity. You know, I agree with that. But, you know, we have to solve many health problems. But here's the deal, Tony. Everybody needs to get the shot, okay? That's the point.
Based on what?
I don't think everybody needs to be getting the shot. So now you're calling it a shot. That's good, Steve. I'm really glad you called because listeners now get a chance to hear, you know, your response. Now, you heard the doctors speak about the effects and injuries that people are experiencing and what the spike proteins target in the body, and that is the ovaries, the brain, and the testes. Did you hear that part?
Yeah, hey, you know, but let's talk about the other side. Listen, it's literally shreds your circulatory system, and the long-term COVID effects like dementia and other forms of cardiovascular disease, this is what we're really seeing. So let's talk about the real facts and the real numbers that we have now, literally because these people have had COVID and they've survived it. They survived it, yes, but they are having brain fogs. We don't know if it's going to contribute to long-term dementia. And again, this is what the scientists are telling you. Listen, you're not a scientist.
Which scientist?
Steve
is not interested in a conversation, and we can be done with Steve D'Angelo, thanks. Steve is interested in putting forward a perspective, and again, I think this verifies my suspicion in the beginning. Steve is not here for a conversation. He's here to get this platform that people are listening to find out the alternative, to tell everyone, hey, go get the jab.
So, just to break the ice, first thing I'd like to ask is, should I go and get a vaccine tomorrow?
Well, if you want to get that depopulation shot that actually doesn't fulfill the legal definition of a vaccine, that's up to you. It doesn't stop transmission, it doesn't stimulate an immune response, but it does, however, fulfill the definition on the CDC of being a device, and it's a bioweapon.
Device. And just recently, they've started to say, which seemed weird, that they went from saying that you could pass things on still, you weren't fully vaccinated still, to, oh no, this now protects you.
There's no evidence to show that it causes protection. And also, one has to remember that if COVID-19 does indeed exist, which it doesn't, SARS-CoV-2 does, all of these coronaviruses, these are all from labs. If it does indeed exist, those that died were over 80 years old and they had two other comorbidities. That means they had two underlying health conditions. Of those that survived, under 65s, it was a 99.8% survival. That means it is not a pandemic at all. So this device that they want to inject into everyone, they're using emergency legislation. And when you give a drug, it has to be licensed. So if we look at morphine for a minute, it's a painkiller. It's used in end-of-life care. So say you have a patient who has lung cancer and they feel like they're suffocating. One could choose morphine for its side effects, which would be to make the respiration shallow, and then the patient would no longer feel like they're suffocating. That would be giving a drug off-license. So this is the difference between license and an unlicensed drug. So this new injection, they're using all emergency licensing, emergency ruling, and you would only give it in a life and death situation, and yet they're testing.
Say we've got 99%
99.8% survival if one does indeed believe this is a pandemic.
By the end of September, when all over 18s will have had their chance, to be double jabbed, we're planning to make full vaccination the condition of entry to nightclubs and other venues where large crowds gather. Proof of a negative test will no longer be enough.
Hi. Hi, everyone. It's Naomi Wolf, CEO of Daily Clout. And as I promised, I'm here to talk about the vaccine passports. I appeared on Fox yesterday to share my warning about the vaccine passports. And I got hundreds and hundreds of emails from across the political spectrum saying, I'm scared too, what can I do to help? So I just wanted to take more time to explain what exactly the vaccine passports are, because there's a lot of, I wouldn't say misinformation, I would say lack of appropriate warning about what this platform really represents. So this is probably the most serious warning I've ever given. As I said earlier, I've been warning everyone since 2008 that we could slip into a fascist reality, and the vaccine passports really are the last step and, you know, as someone said today, the hill worth dying on, or the last fight that we have to fight. Because once the passport vaccines are accepted, there is no more resistance. There is no more choice. So let me explain, as CEO of a tech company, Daily Clout, exactly why this, not even proposal, it's being rolled out in Israel. It was rolled out in Israel. It's being promoted in Britain that you have to scan your vaccine passport in order to go to a pub and have a pint. It's, you know, President Biden in America said, this is going to be mandated. My tyrannical governor, Governor Andrew Cuomo, said that it's got to be, you know, rolled out, the Excelsior Pass that IBM is creating. It's happening at warp speed. So please don't be fooled. This is the most dangerous tool that humanity has faced in my lifetime, if not ever, in terms of human liberty. Basically, let me explain a little nerdy tech detail. When you sign up on a website, you or on an app, there's a place where you sign your name and you choose a password, and then there's a list of terms and conditions, and you agree to them. Well, that's really important. It seems insignificant, but it's really important because what it means is you have choice. You can read the terms and conditions and you can think, this is too tyrannical, they're gonna sell my private details, I'm not willing to agree to these terms and conditions, they're not in my favor. And the password and username means that you get to decide when you log on to TD Bank or when you log on to PayPal. You're not walking around your daily life logged into PayPal. You're not walking around your daily life logged into, you know, a credit score. So that's really, really important. You're in control. So with the vaccine passports, none of that will be the case. Everyone has to be participating all the time. And what I mean by that is if you don't participate, you don't get let into the supermarket to buy food. You don't get let into the pub to meet your friends. You can't get into the restaurant. You can't travel on an airplane. You can't travel on a bus. You can't travel on a train. And it's not just that you're forced to participate. I can't say this any more clearly. The vaccine passport platform is the same platform as a social credit system.
Well, I got to tell you all, it is a true honor and pleasure to be here. God has blessed me so much. Today is really important to me. Every one of these is, it's just incredible. It's incredible. To see the people, to see God, to feel him moving in us. It's amazing. Thank you, Clay. Thank you so much. I'm going to talk about something real serious today. And this is a brand new announcement. I'm filing papers in federal court today. So you guys are the first to hear. And yeah, go ahead and post it. It'll be censored in about 6 seconds. But here's what I'm going to say to those that are going to censor this. Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Let me tell you what I'm going to say. You are complicit in causing death. And I cannot wait to sue you over and over again. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what a woman who has incredible courage, who we're calling Jane Doe for right now, she gave me some information. She's an insider. She's a whistleblower. We're submitting to federal court today based on a sworn declaration. Under threat of perjury, this woman attested to this, and she is an expert. We know, based on what she said, that there have been at least 45,000 deaths from this vaccine. I'm going to tell you what I know. I know, based on this woman's testimony, because she has seen the inside of the systems, that there have been 45,000 deaths based on how many people died within 3 days of the vaccine in just one system that's reporting to the federal government. Now, I'm going to tell you what I can't prove. That piece of information, that 45,000 deaths, okay, I want to put that in perspective. 45,000. Look around you. If all of you were dead now, that would not even come close to 45,000. I live in a town of about 10,000 to 12,000. If they killed my entire town, that would not be 45,000. Not a mathematician. Ladies and gentlemen, 45,000, and let me tell you what, there are reportedly around 11 or 12 systems that are reporting deaths and injuries to the government. How many have really died? And why are they covering it up?
Why do I emphasize the spike protein in these prion-like domains so much? Well, two reasons. There are two major prions. One is that prion-like domain at the very top, which is the result of all of the things that humans have put into it for gain of function, the PRRA, the HIV components. But the other one is the HIV glycoprotein 120 that Shi Zhengli first talked about in the early 2000s. HIV glycoprotein itself is a prion, and the research was already published at the time, so Shi Zhengli knew about this. What is a prion disease? This is a picture of a brain, and you can see that most of it looks fairly good. It's pink, but in here you see all these white areas, and when we enlarge that, it looks like a sponge. So doctors, researchers call this spongiform encephalopathy, or a brain that looks like a sponge. What does that translate in general terms? That's mad cow disease. This is the result of a prion infecting a human brain, and it causes heart disease and the inflammothrombotic response that I've been talking about. So anything that puts this spike protein into your body is going to potentially produce this disease. And when they did, and this was in mice, and 95% of the mice died in 2 weeks producing this mad cow disease. In the rhesus macaques, which are the monkey models that are close to humans, these are the areas of the brain that were damaged, and these were the slides under a microscope showing inflammatory cells. All this stained material are inflammatory cells. This area here is what's called a Lewy body, and that Lewy body formation is what causes Alzheimer's disease.
I am telling you, we have someone who has sworn under penalty of perjury that there's been at least 45,000. And my guess, I've been working on this for a while now, is that it's immensely higher number, immensely. They know it and they are covering it up, and I want investigations immediately. A America's frontline doctors empowered me to file this suit in Alabama. Thank you, Simone. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, all of you that are doing this. Because of that suit, we were able to make these connections and define this. 45,000. You're going to get censored when you talk about this. And you know what? If they try and censor the risk, I would say that's complicity. And I cannot wait to find out in court.
The next slide shows the ultimate bioweapon being prion. So this is our eighth slide, prion disease. And you're going to see over here in the corner, you're going to see a lot of red stained area. These are prions that are moving from one neuron to another neuron. And then the other images to the right of that show this sponge brain or mad cow disease and how brains shrink. And in the next slide, we're going to see the actual bioweapon comparison itself, where this glycoprotein 120 attaches to what's called a sialic raft receptor, which was the work that I was doing in the early 90s that got everybody in the government stressed, because this is what's necessary for them to target the cells using this virus. And so the virus is the missile, and the warhead is actually the prion disease. In the next series of slides, the first one, there is information about treatments that are available for people. If they get infected as outpatients, you get infected from somebody, you have runny nose, aches and pains, that type of thing. There's four different treatments that we laid out here that run the cost anywhere between $40 and $95. The doses are there for you to share with your doctors. In the next slide, the same thing is done for inpatients, which is a little small, but you can take and stop the frame and enlarge it or go to the website and download it so you can see it, and you can see the transition between outpatient to inpatient treatments. And then finally, the next slide shows what types of treatments are available for people who have been vaccinated. The research now shows that the simple drug called heparin that you can stick under your skin twice a day actually blocks the spike protein from attaching itself to our cells. So good old-fashioned, simple, it's cheap, heparin turns out to be a treatment for this virus and for anybody who's had vaccines or shedding problems. Two important pieces of information. First off, if you've had the infection SARS-CoV-2 and you're wondering whether you have immunity to this virus, you do. The paper that was just published by Nielsen in this slide shows that people have antibodies, both IgG and IgA, to the entire spike protein, that regional binding area, the N-terminal domain, and the nuclear capsid of the virus, and that independent upon how severe that infection was, you've got immunity to it. You don't need to be able to measure antibodies in your bloodstream because you don't make antibodies to everything that you've been exposed to. You make memory cells. And that's important because the next slide over here shows, or in this slide rather on the right side, shows that if you've been exposed to influenza or cytomegalovirus, which means a big virus which causes a number of diseases, you already have T cell immunity to SARS-CoV-2 and you don't need to be vaccinated.
So let's see, 45,000, let's see what they do. I want to challenge you all, okay? Since we can't talk about the 45,000 murders because people weren't able to give informed consent because they've been covering up the risk, let's try and get 45,000 to trend on Twitter. We can't call it murders, but maybe we can. Let's try and get it to trend on Facebook. Just post everywhere you can. Now, I want to suggest maybe you go to Clout Hub or something decent, because God knows Facebook and Twitter suck. Am I allowed to say that in a church? I'm sorry. I'm very fired up. I am. Ladies and gentlemen, the 80% failure rate in Israel, they don't work. The absolute risk reduction from these vaccinations, 1%. You're being experimented on for 1%, and they want to experiment on my babies. I have an 8-year-old and 11-year-old. As God is my witness, hell will freeze over before I stand down on this. So I apologize. I'm more than a little bit frustrated, and I've been very eager to share this information because we need it everywhere. If you're at home, wherever you are, 45K, let's call it the 45K initiative, right? We want everyone to hear this. I want investigations in Congress. I want Nancy Pelosi to call investigations. Do you care about our kids? She's claiming to. Let's see what she does. I want Adam Schiff, who talked about the seriousness of the accusations with Brett Kavanaugh. Well, I'm accusing you guys of covering up thousands of deaths.
We now know that SARS-CoV-2, whether it be from the virus or from the vaccines, reverse transcribes or gets into our human DNA. So transcription is DNA to RNA, and reverse transcription is RNA to DNA. We now know, here's the studies down here, you know me well enough by now to know that I'm going to give you the resource and the papers to go read if you're so inclined, or for your doctor or researchers, that this virus, whether it be the virus itself or the vaccines, inserts itself into all but three of our 23 sets of chromosomes. Chromosome 8, 15, and 20 still seem to be protected or not transcribed. But we now know that giving this to people will get it into our human DNA. So all those questions about does it or doesn't it, it does.
Well, we're asking for a temporary restraining order, TRO, and what that means is we're asking for the court to temporarily halt any injections of this COVID, well, they're calling it a vaccine, I'm not sure it is, but this COVID injection into kids under 16 years old. But the number one thing is it's absolutely against the law to experiment on kids without doing a risk-benefit analysis. And the bottom line is according to CDC statistics, which are all false and inflated, there is zero statistical risk to children for COVID-19. They don't spread it. And so any experimental drug use on kids to fight that is just, it's danger for no reason. This drug was not tested. There is no safe and effective drug for COVID. I mean, they don't know what it is. You want safe and effective? Try vitamin D and zinc. Try hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. By the way, the hydroxychloroquine thing, the guys who said that that was causing harmful side effects, I've heard that they're on their way to jail because they OD'd people in that study so that they could get bad results. It's this whole thing is one of the most corrupt and horrendous things that has ever happened in the history, in modern history, probably. It's crazy.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.